it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Heck of a lot to get to. We'll touch a little bit on the Washington Capitals, who had a thrilling victory last night. Jacob Chychrun lifting the fellas to a big 3-2 win over the Lightning. They've won three straight after starting off a little sleepy here at the beginning of the season against Boston, a game that turned into a tough loss. You saw them pick up the pace versus the Islanders to get the goal scores going. And it is a young season for the Washington Capitals at this point. And one dude that really burst onto the scene last year for this group in Alexi Protas, he's really starting to continue to catch fire here to start the season as well. So Caps will have the night off tonight. Then they're back at home coming up on Friday against the Wild. So a good start for the old Washington Capitals. Washington Wizards have been in preseason action. They will tip off their regular season next week, I believe, against the Milwaukee Bucks. And it is a Wizards team that I would say definitely is going to be interesting this year. I know they're not trying to win. We know they're continuing the tank. But the big question with the Zardos, which one of these young pups are going to emerge as a franchise cornerstone? Because that is what is missing with this group. That is the next step here in this rebuild, finding your clear-cut franchise cornerstone. Will it be the rookie Trey Johnson? Will it be Cam Whitmore, who's off to a good start here in preseason? Or will it be Alex Saar, who in the preseason opener looked more assertive, looked more aggressive than we had seen really at any point last year? So I'm excited about him moving forward as well. We'll talk a little bit more about the DC family in the final hour of the program. Our pal Bijan Todd, Monumental Sports Network, going to join us. Have a couple of guests stop by the program. Odyssey NFL insider, longtime NFL insider, Jason Locke and Four are going to join us top of the 9 o'clock hour. We'll take a spin around the National Football League with him. Plus, we will touch on the Washington Commanders, who are back out on the practice field this afternoon in preparation for the Dallas Cowboys. You heard from Dan Quinn. You heard from Jaden Daniels. You'll hear from both of those guys as we roll throughout the program. We'll also take a step inside of the locker room as well. So a loaded Wednesday night edition of OT for you right here on The Fan. I do want to start off with the Washington Commanders. A couple of housekeeping notes here this afternoon as we start with the injury report for the Washington Commanders. It is a pretty lengthy one. But before we get to the injury report, I want to let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. He gave an update to this Washington Commanders wide receiver corps that's definitely a little bit of a blow moving forward.
Last week, we worked Noah Brown back into practice, and unfortunately, his groin didn't respond. And given that, we'll place him on IR. And the aim is to get Noah fully right. He's such a tough competitor, but it's the right call right now to get him into that spot, and let's get him all the way back and ready. Yeah, well, I would say it wasn't a setback. It just hasn't responded, you know, quite the way that it needs to, so I wouldn't call it a setback. Hindsight's 20/20. I think the main thing is, man, we're gonna get him right. And that's the ultimate goal, to get there. So we know that means 4 more weeks, and the guy's working incredibly hard at it. And so we want to make sure hit all the marks that we can with him.
With Noah, is this something that would require surgery, or is this just more time, rest, recovery?
More time, and just we're gonna really push it, make sure the recovery's right, the strength's right, and just, you know, kind of go through all of it to make sure he's really ready.
Have you had a chance to talk to him as he's dealt with all this? I mean, it's been
I will today. This morning. I have obviously previously, but not specifically today, but I will this afternoon. Like, he's one of these competitors. He takes it hard. He cares so much. He loves it. And so, you know, moments like now are hard because of who the competitor is. But the good news is that, you know, let's put the plan in place that we can absolutely, you know, nail it to get him back. And that's what we'll aim to do.
A big loss is Noah Brown, and I know he has been on the shelf for the better part of this season. You saw him last against Green Bay on Thursday Night Football. It was an offseason in which you didn't see him much. He suffered that injury early in the offseason, and then you really did not see him at all throughout the entirety of camp. And Washington's receiving core, Washington's pass game, has felt the impact of Noah Brown not being there. You couple that with Terry McLaurin's absence, and you understand right now why Washington is ranked 23rd in the National Football League in terms of passing yards per game, a little bit less, a little bit lower rather than what they were in 2024 when they were ranked 17th. So the passing game definitely got to get going. I know a lot of people have made a lot of conversation about the decision to not place Noah Brown on injured reserve. I agree with those that are, you know, kind of questioning it. I think Dan Quinn kind of alluded to it. They just simply didn't know, and they wanted to give him every chance to return. But what this move now does is put him on the shelf for 4 weeks. Washington did bring in Treylon Burks for a workout, the former first-round pick of the Tennessee Titans. And I think that tells you kind of, you know, how they're, one, looking at their current receiving core, and then, two, obviously, you know, Noah Brown's going to be out for a little while. So I kind of figured some sort of IR move was coming. I didn't know if it would be Terry or if it would be Noah. But you got that move today for Washington. The more head-scratching in terms of personnel roster move that I'm still scratching my head over, Monday night, we found out Eddie Goldman was not going to be available with an illness. And their two practice squad call-ups were wide receivers. And what you saw on Monday night was Jalen Holmes, 96, being played more inside as a three technique. And just about every snap that Jalen Holmes had on the interior, he got tossed out of the club. He got moved around. He got pushed into the lap of linebackers. We'll talk about it in great detail as we roll throughout the show. It was an embarrassing display of run defense by Washington on Monday night. And I'm not trying to hyperbolize it. I'm not trying to over-exaggerate it at all. It was embarrassing. It's not the standard that I know they're trying to hold themselves to. And we hear all the slogans, anybody, anywhere, anytime. We talk about the run and hit, ball is life, all that. You just did not see that from the run defense on Monday night. And if we're just talking about personnel moves, personnel decisions, I wish Sheldon Day would have got called up off the practice squad. I know he could have helped in stopping the run. Because I'll tell you this, moving forward, bumping Jalen Holmes to the interior is not the answer, right? Jerzon Newton to this point has been a guy that's kind of struggled a little bit against the run because he is an undersized interior defensive lineman. So we're going to nitpick at decisions. I think that's the one that I'm going to circle. But Noah Brown going on injured reserve, it has been a very trying early start or early portion of the season, I guess, for Washington when it comes to the injury bug. They're feeling it right now, though, offensively. And right now, just to rewind to Monday night real quick, right now the Washington Commanders are a group that cannot win unless they play flawlessly offensively. They have to be perfect on offense in order to win, and they simply were not perfect against the Chicago Bears on Monday night. Because in reality, when you think about it, right, when you're the Washington Commanders and you turn the ball over, what, three times in a football game? When you turn it over three times in a football game, yet you only lose by 1 point, it says that your defense played a little bit better than maybe people are giving it credit for, and I will agree with that sentiment. I think that is what it means. But the most disheartening part, I guess, about Monday is all year long your run defense has been top-notch, right? Like, heading into the contest, you were a top-10 run defense in the National Football League. You had been really good in that department, and your new toys along your defensive front were awesome for you. In the first couple of weeks, the first 5 weeks here, they did not play well on Monday night. And I think you saw the same type of run scheme from Chicago that you saw from Atlanta with these reach blocks and the zone blocking scheme, and they have trouble with that. Linebackers weren't fitting stuff well. Slot corner wasn't fitting stuff well. They did not fit the run with a purpose, right? They were not trying to spill plays with violence, if that makes sense. And it's tough for me because what does it say about you? Who are you? I think we're still all trying to figure that out about Washington. When are they going to get off of this roller coaster? When are they going to get off of this roller coaster? You've won one, you've lost one. You've won one, you've lost one. It's the time to get off the roller coaster is now. This schedule is not getting any easier. And Sunday's not going to be easy. So they got to look themselves in the mirror as a football team and ask themselves, who are we? Which version of the Washington Commanders are going to show up week in and week out? Can we at least get the same version to show up? This is what's so tough about it. I've seen them do it in 3 out of the first 6 weeks, right? I've seen them do it. We know it's capable. We know they're capable. We know it's there. We know it's within them. They just haven't shown any ounce of consistency to start this year. And until they do, we're going to have weeks like this where it feels like the sky is falling, for some of you at least. And for me, I'm not really feeling that way. One thing, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, since Dan Quinn has gotten here, they seem to be a group that responds well to adversity. We saw the 3-game losing streak last year and the way that they responded to finish the season. They hit their stride when they had their most adverse situation of the season. Right now, you lost a big game. You gave one away that, quite frankly, you needed when you think about the schedule moving forward. You think about how difficult this gets. You needed the game against Chicago on Monday night, and you blew it. The big question now is, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? Are you going to be a group that sits on his hands and allows yourself to get punched in the face? Or are you going to swing back? I think they're going to swing back. We'll see, though, coming up Sunday in Dallas against the Cowboys. 1-800-636-1067 is the number here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, taking you up the 10 o'clock loaded show for you all. The Rooster Man, Chris Russell, going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, though, we will give you the full-scale injury report from the Washington Commanders, who was in, who was out in their first practice of the week in preparation for the Dallas Cowboys coming up on Sunday. The injury report comes your way next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, taking you up the 10 o'clock. Number to call us, 1-800-636-1067. A lot more to get to. Washington trying to pick up the pieces after Monday night's gut-wrenching loss against the Chicago Bears, a game in which it feels like Washington kind of gave it away. And don't want to dwell on it too much. I think I heard Dan Quinn and Jayden Daniels reference this earlier this afternoon. You're glad that it is a short week. You're glad that you get to get back out there and right your wrongs coming up this Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. It is a divisional game. It is a rivalry. I say that with a question mark. We'll talk about that as we roll throughout the show as well. Just how juicy of a rivalry is Commanders and Cowboys at this current juncture. But I do know this. It gets late early when you fall under 500 in the month of October. It gets late early when you fall under 500 in the month of October. That is why Sunday is a massive, massive showdown for Washington. You have to stay afloat, not only in this conference race, but in your divisional race as well. Because based on the way the NFC has looked to start the year, you're going to have to win your division probably to make the playoffs. That is how this is looking. Probably going to get two teams out the West. Right? You're going to get one team clearly out of the, or two teams probably out the South maybe, with Atlanta and Tampa. Chicago and Green Bay right now, scratching tooth and nail. Same thing in the NFC. So, big, big game for Washington coming up on Sunday against the Cowboys. The big question is, will they have Terry McLaurin back for Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys? The big question is, will they be at full strength offensively with not only the return of Terry McLaurin, but potentially the return of Sam Cosmi as well? The injury situation for Washington right now, definitely something to monitor. Coming up top of the 7 o'clock hour, we will give you the injury report from today's practice session. Also, top of the 7 o'clock hour, I'll also tell you why I'm not panicked about Monday Night Football against the Chicago Bears. 1-800-636-1067. Steve is in Fairfax. Wants to chime in real quick before we hit a timeout. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Linnell. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes,
before I talk about the Commanders, I just want to say I'm really looking forward to hearing about where the Wizards are in their 45-year rebuild of the franchise. It's going to be awesome to hear about where they are. Maybe another 5 years, right?
Oh, my God.
Half a century. You know, I called a couple of weeks ago, and I think, you know, you and a couple of other listeners got a little ticked off with me because I was saying, you know, how much of this is on Adam Peters and the coaching staff? I mean, they chose to develop this team. And I understand they were working with nothing when they came on board. But, I mean, two drafts, two free agency classes, a ton of cap space. And I can't wait to hear the injury list today. I mean, it is because we have a bunch of slow, old players. And the fact that they built this team with a bunch of slow, old players around what we all agree is, you know, one of the best quarterbacks that this team has ever seen. And but we have a short window. That window is not infinite. Yeah. It's 4 or 5 years. And I'm not sure that we are in a position to be competitive in the long run. When I looked at the schedule in the beginning of the year, and you know, you talked about, is this a rivalry with the Cowboys? I said, you know what? We're trending up. They're trending down. This isn't a rivalry. I guarantee you on Sunday at 4:15 or 4:30 when that game kicks off, those Cowboys are going to be playing with their pants on fire. And I'm not sure that our team will be. And that's on Adam Peters, and that's on Dan Quinn for the roster that they built.
Steve, bringing it strong as always. I appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your evening, brother. 1-800-636-1067. We'll give you the latest injury report for the Washington Commanders as they hit the practice field earlier this afternoon for the first time in preparation for the Cowboys. That's coming up on the other side of the break. Plus, I'll tell you why I'm not panicking after Monday night's epic collapse. That is all coming up next here on The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah,
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Top of the 7 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital, right here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, taking you up the 10 o'clock, talking all things burgundy and gold until the 9 o'clock hour. That's where our pal Bijan Todd of the Monumental Sports Network is going to join us. We'll touch a little bit on the D.C. family. Wizards tip off their regular season next week in Milwaukee against the Bucks. So super-duper excited about that. We'll get a little bit into the Zardos with our pal Bijan Todd. 8 o'clock hour, that caged animal Chris Russell going to join the program. We get his thoughts on what happened Monday night against the Chicago Bears. And then his confidence that Washington can bounce back coming up Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. This edition of Overtime presented by Door Pro America Garage. Door service, go with the pros at Door Pro America. From spring repair or replacement or a brand new garage door to boost your home's curb appeal, call 877-DOOR-PRO today and ask how you can save $60 on a repair or $150 on a new garage door. Visit DoorProAmerica.com. Want to get into the Washington Commanders and their injury report from this afternoon. Back on the practice field for the first time. A little bit of a jog through is how Dan Quinn described it. And bear with me, ladies and gents, because this injury report is lengthy. DNPs first. Dorrance Armstrong, hamstring. John Bates, rest. Zach Ertz, rest. Newly acquired defensive end Drake Jackson, knee. Javon Kinlaw, rest. Von Miller, rest. Deron Payne, rest. Chris Rodriguez, calf. Debo, heel. Laremy Tunsil, rest. Bobby Wagner, rest. Limited. Terry McLaurin with what they're describing as a quad injury. And then Sam Cosmi listed as a full participant with a knee. Jayden Daniels still on the injury report with his knee as a full participant. And then Jonathan Jones, a full participant, as he works his way back from the hamstring injury. They opened up his 21-day practice window, so we should see him return soon. And I'll tell you this, they may be playing Jonathan Jones when he ultimately comes back, but we'll save that conversation for elsewhere here on the program. The injury report for Washington, it's Wednesday, and you're on a short week. So you expect guys maybe not to practice in their usual capacity, so I'm not too concerned about the injury report. I will say this, the possibility of getting Terry McLaurin back, I think, is huge for this Washington Commanders offense, and they need him, quite frankly. It's called spade a spade. He is so important to their pass game and what they want to accomplish offensively. And I know that without him, right, they have been still amongst the best offenses in the NFL. I know that without him, they have continued to be able to function at a pretty high level, being a top 10 group in the National Football League in terms of scoring. So they have figured it out for the most part without Terry McLaurin, but you saw the importance of it Monday night, not having your deep threat. You become overly dependent on your rushing attack, and I think that's probably one of the more disheartening things about Monday night is you could not run the football. You could not run the football. And that's not really why I'm concerned, because I think it's who you are. You've had success doing it all year long. I'm concerned at when you couldn't run the football, right? The numbers, 31 carries, 124 yards, you average 4 yards a pop. Jayden Daniels had a couple of scrambles in there. He was your second leading rusher at 5.2 yards a pop. The Washington Commanders heading into Monday night were amongst the best offensive lines in football in terms of rushing yards before contact, meaning they were blowing folks off of the football, right? It's what they were really, really good at. Coming out of the week, they're third in terms of yards before contact per attempt. That number is telling, but it doesn't tell the whole story. Anybody that watched on Monday night saw the interior of this Commanders offensive line, talking about their guard center guard combo, Chris Paul, Tyler Biadasz, Andrew Wiley. They struggled. Chicago was getting upfield. They were penetrating. They were recreating the line of scrimmage on a routine basis. It was unlike anything Washington has seen to this point in terms of the way that they defended the run game. And you still were able to run it to the 2 and 4 yards a pop, but it looked different. And game flow made you get away from it in some certain spots. But I thought Cliff overall did a pretty good job in terms of sticking with it as long as he could. I just think from an execution standpoint, it was not there. They did not create the holes. And I'll say this, as we're just talking here, right? Bill Kroski Merritt probably had his worst game as a young pup here in terms of vision. And Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards were flying downhill like badasses. How does that impact the running back that's been really, really good with his patience and picking his spots? He was so worried about pressing the hole that you did not see some of the cutbacks that you had seen in weeks prior from Bill Kroski Merritt. I thought this was, and I ain't trying to bid off of him. I ain't going hard on him by saying this. I'm not saying he stinks or anything. It was his worst performance throughout the first 6 weeks in terms of his patience level. And I think it had a lot to do with this was probably the worst that they had blocked the run up throughout the first 6 weeks. It just is. Call a spade a spade. Now, you still ran it to the tune of 4 yards a pop on 31 attempts, but you did not have the down in, down out consistency. There were more runs of zero or no yards or zero of negative yards than you had been accustomed to. And how does Terry McLaurin impact that? You really don't have a guy that can consistently beat one-on-one coverage. Jayden Daniels was forced to hold the ball a couple of different times on Monday night, and that was because guys were getting clamped on the perimeter. Point blank. But all in all, the injury report is what the injury report is. They're going to get healthy at some point. We'll see how many of these guys end up giving it a go tomorrow, as it is a short week, so it's going to be a lighter week in terms of preparation. But I do want to get to this, and I want you to begin to line up on the phones at 1-800-636-1067. Heard G&D talking about this tail end of their program. They talked about, you know, it was the Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day, talking about will they make the playoffs. In this 7 o'clock hour, we'll play devil's advocate. It is the art of solo radio. I'll tell you why the Commanders will make the playoffs. I'll tell you why the Commanders won't make the playoffs. When we come back, though, I'll tell you why I'm not panicked after Monday Night Football. That is next on The Fan. One 800 636 1067 is the number here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Noah Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey NFL insider, longtime NFL insider for the Washington Post, going to join us coming up top of the 9 o'clock hour. We'll take a spin around the NFL, plus talk all things Washington Commanders. And we'll ask Jason his thoughts on the burgundy and gold as we sit here 6 weeks into the season. I said this to start the show. I've said this every time I've been on here in this football season. It gets late, early, when you are under 500 in the month of October. And right now, Washington, sitting at 500, heading into honestly, a must-win showdown against Dallas coming up on Sunday. When you look at the next 5 weeks for the Washington Commanders, based on how Jekyll and Hyde this group has been defensively, if you told me they were going to lose their next five against Dallas, Kansas City, Seattle, Detroit, the next four, rather, I wouldn't be stunned. If you told me they won all four of those games, I also wouldn't be stunned. See, you can pretend like you know all you want. I don't think anybody does. I don't even think the people inside those walls over in Ashburn know who the Washington Commanders are to this point. Who are the real Washington Commanders? That's the big question here. And I think what plagued you on Monday night, your issue Monday night, was a lack of execution. Offensively, defensively, in prime spots. See, the offense went out and scored 24 points, but they should have scored 40. They should have scored 30-plus. They left plays out on the field. There are so many individual plays you can go and look and say, damn, well, there you go. That's how you hurt yourself. From the quarterback to the offensive line, everybody. That's what's tough, right, about what happened Monday night. The Commanders cannot afford Jayden Daniels making mistakes. He is the straw that stirs the drink for this football team. He was phenomenal on Monday night, outside of the turnovers. There were a couple of misses, but that's every quarterback in the NFL. The one thing with him that has annoyed me to start the year, if I'm being overly critical of the quarterback, is him taking these intentional grounding penalties. Got to get better at getting the football away, because it led to a third and forever, and it killed a drive. Talking about his intentional grounding that he had against Chicago on Monday night. He's done that four or five times this year, and it's killed four or five drives. Can't happen. Simply can't happen. The turnovers from him in the red zone, can't happen. The fumble to cost you the game, can't happen. You know what I love, though? I love the attention to detail. Excuse me. I love the accountability, rather, that he shows. And there's just a trust that I think we all have, that was a one-off Monday night. Even dating back to last year, though, with this football team, they cannot afford to turn it over offensively. It was their secret sauce last year. They did not turn the football over. They did not give the other team extra possessions. It's not who they were. It's not who they were. But this time around, Monday night in particular, you saw that. Simply put, they are a team that cannot overcome mistakes from Jaden Daniels. And I think we all know that. But I don't worry about him at all. He'll be fine. He's a pro's pro. He knows what the hell he's doing. Puts in the work. Not worried about him. I'm really not worried at all, if I'm being honest. A lot of you all out there are ringing the alarm, are panicking over the fact that this group is 3-3 through the first 6 weeks of the season. There is not a bone in my body that has panic right now. This is a week-to-week league, point blank. And to their credit, this group has responded each and every time that they have faced adversity, this year at least. They have responded, point blank. When you have veterans like Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner and Terry McLaurin and Jonathan Jones, guys that have been through the fire before, you're able to overcome adversity. And they showed it last year. Their worst stretch of play, that three-game losing streak, the end of it, the turning point, led to the magical run that led them all the way to the conference championship game. So I am not panicked at all, but I do know this. Not panicked, but Sunday is a must win. You have to get the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday. By hook or by crook, through hell or high water. I'm not looking for style points. I'm not trying to be cute with it. You must win Sunday versus Dallas, or else, like I've continued to reiterate, it is going to get late, early for this group in terms of making the playoffs.
That will also show you where you are in the division.
For sure. I think the division race, to me, that's the best shot that I think you have of making the playoffs. You've lost to Chicago. You won't have the head-to-head tiebreaker against them. They're going to be a wild card. You've lost to Atlanta. You won't have the head-to-head tiebreaker against them. They're going to be a wild card team. Huge in the division race, because this is how you will make the playoffs. You will not make it as a wild card. There are going to be two teams coming out of the West in Seattle and San Francisco, is what it looks like. Or maybe it's the Rams. They may have three teams come out of the West. And that's what makes 2 weeks from now against Seattle at home on Sunday Night Football, massive showdown when it comes down to the standings in terms of the playoff picture. That's what I keep talking about. It is going to get late, early if you do not win Sunday in Dallas. How do they win Sunday in Dallas? It's about getting back to the basics. Zach Ertz spoke after practice and had this to say about the team's ability to bounce back.
Zach, to that point of being ticked off, how do you channel that energy into a positive this week?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to go out there and execute at a high level. Execution fuels emotion in this league, so when you're executing at a high level, guys are going to play with a lot of juice. And so I think I think guys felt the energy today and walked through pre-practice, during practice, and then hopefully tomorrow it carries over as well.
It's been a zigzag start for this team. You win one, you lose one, but every time you've lost one, this team has bounced back and responded. Why do you think this team's so good at kind of responding that way?
Yeah, we just got a bunch of guys that love the process, that are exhausting themselves every day to be the best version of themselves. We understand it's a roller coaster of a season so far, and we got to be more consistent as a team, offense, defense, special teams. It's all about execution in this league. You can pinpoint here or there, whatever it is. The plays are there to be made, and we got to go out there and make them.
It's about execution. Hear it all the time. I hear a lot of you on Twitter, specifically on the defensive side of the football, calling for the job of the defensive coordinator. Is it Joe Witt Jr.'s fault that Mikey Samuels still is not filling on run plays? Is it Joe Witt Jr.'s fault that guys were getting beat off the football up front? That's not on coaching. That's execution. It's not Cliff Kingsbury's fault that Jaden Daniels had an intentional grounding that killed a drive. It's not Cliff Kingsbury's fault that Laremy Tunsil had a 5-yard false start that puts you behind the sticks. They've got to execute. Point blank. I have confidence that they will. Because if you don't, what's the saying tonight, guys? It's going to get late, early, for the Washington Commanders. I want to take your calls, though. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Heard G&D talking about this tail end of their show. In the next two segments here, I want you to tell me, straight up, at 3-3, why will the Commanders make the playoffs? 1-800-636-1067. Why will the Commanders make the playoffs after starting off 3-3? You could tweet at me with that as well. It is at NELL underscore BTP. I'll start us off here, and then we'll get to your calls. The Commanders will make the playoffs because they have Jayden Daniels under center at the quarterback position. That is the sole reason to me why I believe they will make the playoffs. He is special, and he showed it off again on Monday Night Football minus the two turnovers. Some of the first down scrambles that he has, outrunning linebackers, beating the angle, he's not even at 100% right now. And you're seeing his dynamic ability to threaten the line of scrimmage as a scrambler while maintaining and keeping his eyes downfield. Something he's got to get a little bit better at is that. But to me, that is the reason why the Commanders will make the playoffs. I also believe the Commanders will make the playoffs because this offense as a whole has the potential when they get all hands back on deck. Terry McLaurin, Sam Cosmi, we know we're going to be without Noah for a little bit. They're averaging 26 points a game right now, minus Terry McLaurin, minus Noah Brown. They're playing with a pretty unproven group of wide receivers outside of Deebo Samuel, and they're finding a way to get it done. Your margin for error, though, is much slimmer with this current crop of characters offensively. That's why you need Terry. That's why you need Sam Cosmi. But I think Jayden Daniels is special and has the ability to make you right more times than not. I also trust this running game. Despite it not being as successful as it has been all year, I think they really do have a special sauce in terms of running the football, and I think that run game only gets better with Sam Cosmi being in the fold. The other reason why I think they'll make the playoffs is this. This may come off as hot take, unpopular. I think they're closer on defense than we're all giving them credit for. Because when you think about what the major issue was defensively heading into Monday night against Chicago, it was the pass defense. They couldn't stop me as a wide receiver. They were giving up explosives out of the wazoo in the pass game. You didn't really see that on Monday night against Chicago. Their issues were stopping the run, fitting runs, tackling. Guys just got to come out and play inspired football, man. You can talk about anybody, anywhere, anytime, all the hell you want. Live it on the defensive side of the football. Right now, you're not. Point blank. Live it on the defensive side of the football because right now, you're not. Mikey Sanders still, I need more. Quan Martin, I need more. Frankie Louvu, I need more. That front seven was atrocious on Monday night. The corners playing the run weren't good. Got to be better. But they didn't give up the big chunk plays in the pass game for the most part. That is why I do, that is my silver lining, I guess, about the defense's performance on Monday night. What we're talking about right now, what we're taking your calls on at 1-800-636-1067 is this. Why will the Commanders make the playoffs? Before we roll out of the 7 o'clock hour, I'll ask you, why won't they make the playoffs? Right now, stay on task. Why will the Washington Commanders make the playoffs this year? At 3-3, massive stretch of games coming up when you talk about their next four. At Dallas coming up on Sunday. Then you're at Kansas City on Monday Night Football. Then you're home for Seattle and Detroit in back-to-back weeks. Your season could be decided, I guess, in the next 4 weeks. The question is this. Why will the Commanders make the playoffs? Gave you my thoughts. I want yours next here on The Fan. Enough of me. I see you lined up on the phones. I want to get to you at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL underscore BTP, a Wednesday night edition of Overtime, taking you up to 10 o'clock, trying to close the book on Washington versus Chicago for Monday night, a gut-wrenching loss for the good guys that puts them at 500 as we get geared up for the third weekend of October. I've been saying it all show long. I'll say it all season long. When you are under 500 in the month of October and November, it begins to get late early, which is why, to me, Sunday in Dallas is as close to a must-win as you can have right now, 6-7 weeks into the season. They got to figure it out. Because right now, you're at the crossroads in your season. Your next four, at Dallas, at Kansas City, home for Seattle, home for Detroit, I can make the case for you winning all four. I can make the case for you losing all four. Because you've shown me moments of excellence, and you've shown me moments of you not being a real contender. Will the real Washington Commanders please stand up? That is all I ask for. I want to figure out who you are. In terms of 6 weeks of football and the playoff picture for Washington, what we're discussing right now on the phones, I want you to tell me why the Commanders will make the playoffs. Tell me why at 1-800-636-1067. Before we get out of the 7 o'clock hour, I'll let you tell me why they won't make the playoffs. Why will they make the playoffs? They'll start with Pat, who wants to chime in. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Linnell, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I think I agree with you because we got number 5 on the center, and then I think we got a lot of veterans on this team that know how to win, and I think for that reason we're going to make the playoffs. And if I was them, I'd go out and kick the tires on Alvin Kamara or Breece Hall because we miss Eckler. When Bill's on the field, he's a great running back, but they know he's more or less going to run the ball. If you get one of them, you got a dual threat coming out of the backfield, and then you can use Merritt, you know, as a sub. And that's my whole point, man. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Pat. 1-800-636-1067. Why will the Commanders make the playoffs? Pat talked about going out and acquiring a running back. Not something I'm interested in right now. I don't think that group is the problem. I think your rushing game is the biggest strength right now of your football team overall. Talk about offense, defense, and special teams. Your run game, your return game, probably the best part of this football team right now. Your offensive line on Monday night against Chicago did not play up to their standard, the standard that they've set through the first 5 weeks of football. Guys were recreating the line of scrimmage, were giving up interior pressure. They were able to penetrate. Bill was getting hit before even reaching the line of scrimmage. And then, as a result, he had his worst rushing game of the season in terms of not seeing him run with that patience, not seeing him hit the hole as hard, pressing too much. Why does that happen? I think it's because Tremaine Edmonds and company were flying downhill, and he's seeing D tackles in his face as soon as he gets the ball, and he's thinking, well, damn, let me just get upfield and get some yards. What has made him special is the jump cuts, the vision, all that. I did not see it from him on Monday night when it was blocked up right. There were times where it wasn't blocked up well at all, and he had to make a play, and he did so. There were also times where it was blocked up to perfection, and he picks the wrong hole. So it's going to be interesting to see how this running game bounces back against Dallas, a group that they struggled to run the ball against last year in two separate football games. Why will the Commanders make the playoffs, though? 1-800-636-1067. Reggie wants to chime in. What's up, Reg? Why will Washington make the playoffs?
El Boogie, you be killing me, man. Hey, look, man. We're going to make the playoffs, first of all, because we're a good football team. We haven't even played our best. And I remember in the summertime, this is a quote from you. Not by verbatim, but it's close enough. The Commanders need Terry McLaurin more than Terry McLaurin needs the Commanders.
Yes.
So, of course, the running lanes are going to be freaking mucked up when you have no threat and they got 8 in the box. I'm watching the game, right? So, you know, sometimes you can see the camera angle and I'm counting the dudes in the box. Man, sometimes it was 9 dudes,
but Reg,
right
this is the thing, Reg. They've ran against an 8-man box all year. And they've
which
had success.
True.
And they've
which
had success.
True. But that's not sustainable.
Right.
It's not sustainable for you to be able to run with 8 dudes in a box. So we didn't have any type of – think about what we're doing. L. Boogie, think about what we're doing with Chris Moore, really.
Yeah.
Like, think about – and then Debo, you know he was hampered. They were talking about his heel.
Yeah.
And then maybe the defense was a little bit more, tailored to stopping him. And we really should have won that game. So for me, I'm feeling confidence because I'm like, okay, I don't want us playing our best football now. But think about it. I remember, I think, again, I'm going to quote you.
Quote me.
7-5.
Come on,
I think,
man.
Again, quote me if I'm wrong. You said we were done last year, right?
I put a fork in it, Reggie. Black Friday.
Yeah.
Black Friday.
And then we didn't lose anymore to the NFC Championship.
It was the turning point of our season. Yep.
Yeah, so I want us right now to start that again. Hopefully I can pull up something, videos, and I can see that Terry is coming back. We need him, man.
Yeah.
So, again, if we can – and Cosme, he's on his way back. So if we can get healthy – because I think you mentioned this. We're averaging, what, 25, 26, and we're leaving
with
food
no
on the
pass
plate.
Attack. With no pass attack. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, so that's why I'm more confident in our ability to, again, kind of hit a stride. by the time we get to our bye. So, and then as long as you said this, think about it. Most elite quarterbacks with the amount of teams that make the playoffs, like they're eligible for the playoffs, when you have an elite quarterback, you make it. So as long as he's upright and as long as we start to get healthy,
it should be good.
I feel good. I feel good about our
Rich,
team. We got to go.
Appreciate you as always, but we got to let you go, brother. You are the man as always. 1-800-636-1067. Why will the Commanders make the playoffs after this 3-3 start to the season? A lot of people, myself not included, feel like the sky is falling after the first 6 weeks. You had a big game Sunday in Dallas, but if you don't win that one, your chances of making the playoffs get slimmer and slimmer. Right now, I think they've got a 34% chance of making the playoffs. Why will the Washington Commanders make the playoffs? As we roll throughout the opening hour and a half of this program, we'll get into the other side of this equation. Why won't they make the playoffs? But right now, why will the Washington Commanders make the playoffs? Mo is in Largo, wanting to chime in. What's going on, man?
Good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate you.
I mean, I'll answer your question, but I gotta ask you this first. How could you legitimately make an argument for this team to win the next four consecutive games based upon the product that they've displayed thus far? So I'm going to answer your question now. Okay. So I think they could make the playoffs because of the play of number five. Possibly some injuries coming back to us with McLaurin and Cosme. I'll give you that. And maybe an acquisition that they might pull off over the next couple weeks. So, I mean, hypothetically, those are the reasons why I foresee us possibly making the playoffs. But personally, I mean, I don't really see how we make the playoffs. But I'll leave that for the second part of the argument. But just to answer your question, that's the reason why I think they would make the playoffs. Now, can you answer my question?
How can they win the next four?
Make the argument, a legitimate argument of why they can win the next four. Yes.
Outscoring Dallas in a shootout coming up on Sunday. Being able to keep Patrick Mahomes pinned in and then outscoring the Chiefs. It's about outscoring these teams. Your toughest task to me is coming up against Detroit, the final game of this four-game stretch. And then against Seattle, if you can make them one-dimensional and not let Jaxon Smith-Njigba kill you, you can have success against them too. But they're a group whose pass rush is as good as anybody. It's any given Sunday, though, man. Point blank.
Have they showed you the ability to carry that level of play for four consecutive weeks?
Not at all. But the quarterback.
Exactly.
Yes, you can. But the quarterback, as I will continue to say, gives you a shot each and every week. This offense gives you a shot each and every week. They are legitimately a top five offense right now in the NFL. Without Terry McLaurin right now, they've looked like that. It's 24 or more each and every week. They haven't put up a stinker offensively, except for Green Bay. I continue to believe that the best is yet to come from Washington. You want to be playing your best football in the months of November and December. But I get it if people are feeling like the playoffs feel totally out of reach. But the one silver lining I'll continue to talk about, I mentioned a lot about the offense. I do think the defense played better than I think you all are giving it credit for on Monday night. I know they're going to get a lot of blame. But when the offense turns the football over three times and you hold your opponent to 25 points, that's pretty damn good. I know the run defense was bad. I know the tackling was bad. I know they gave up some big plays that will stick in your head. But this was the second consecutive week that I thought the pass defense was actually pretty good. This is the second consecutive week that I thought the communication in the secondary was actually pretty good. Can they continue it Sunday in Dallas against arguably the most high-octane offense in the NFL? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls. Plus, we'll transition into this. Why won't the Washington Commanders make the playoffs in 2025? That's next. They're on the Fan. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, our pal Chris Russell is going to join the program. We'll ask him the same question that we're asking you on the phones at 1-800-636-1067. After a 3-3 start to the season, and your next four being pretty difficult, at Dallas Sunday, at Kansas City on Monday night, home for Seattle in primetime, and then home for Detroit, why will the Commanders make the playoffs? Why won't the Commanders make the playoffs? We've talked about why they will make the playoffs And to me, that convo starts and finishes with just how impactful and electric this offense can be. But I do think the silver lining in it is the past 2 weekends defensively, I think you've been much better from a coverage standpoint. You've been much better from a communication standpoint in the secondary. Your issues on Monday night were solely based on your front seven and your slot corner's inability to tackle, point blank. And offensively, you left so many points on the full, on the field. Jayden Daniels' intentional grounding kills the drive. You have a false start that puts you behind the sticks, kills the drive. You have a drop that keeps you behind the sticks, kills the drive. You have sacks versus the blitz that put you behind the sticks, kill the drive. They're their own worst enemy on offense. They're beating themselves offensively. And they still put up 24 points. So I think when they start playing more clean, crisp football, they're a group that can score 30 every week. Will that be enough to protect this defense is the question. But I do think they're trending in the right direction, but definitely a kick in the you-know-whats when you have your run defense be an issue after it's been a strength all year long. What I want to get into right now is why they won't make the playoffs. The Commanders won't make the playoffs because of the defense. The Commanders won't make the playoffs. If they don't, it will be, like we know, because of the defense. But I think it goes deeper than that. I got to wonder, at what point do you begin to switch the personnel defensively? Mikey Samristil and Quan Martin have not been good all season long. I know Mikey's got a couple of picks. But on Monday night, the way he played the run, he looked totally disinterested. And I got a lot of respect for Mikey. And I'm trying to even give him the benefit of the doubt. I wonder if he was hurt in terms of how timid he played the run on Monday night. In coverage, he is their most picked on defender. While Marshawn Lattimore is the guy that gets all the slack and all the crap from the fans, in reality, when you look at this defense by the numbers and who was the most targeted, who was allowing the most receptions, it's Mikey Samer still. So, and this isn't a pick on Mikey. He's got to be better. He's the guy that you thought was going to take a step forward in year two. He's regressed, right? Bobby Wagner has played 100% of the defensive snaps. What did I come on there this offseason and say? He can't play 100% of your snaps next year. He's not perfect. He has plays where he's not scraping fast enough over the top. He and Frankie Louvu have not been consistent at all playing the run. They're consistently in the wrong gap on Monday, at least. They were consistently in the wrong gap. They're overrunning plays, missing tackles. It just wasn't the standard that I know that they've set for themselves defensively. So while they won't make the playoffs is the defense, but I'll take it a step further. At some point, when guys aren't performing, you gotta put the next guy in. Point blank. Another reason why they won't make the playoffs is if they cannot overcome their penalty situation on first and second down. Huge issue for them. Right now, the Washington Commanders, on third down, heading into the game, were ranked 29th. Not because they just stink as an offense. They're actually really damn good as an offense. But when you're consistently penalized on first and second down, and that's the quarterback, that's the wide receiver, that's the offensive lines, the tight ends, they've all had their fair share of boo-boos on first and second down to start, and it's killed them. They're still 29th coming out of this past weekend. They are consistently in third and forever because they're getting penalties on first and second down. They're having negative plays. They're not executing. That's not a coaching thing. It's just not. The NFL team right now with the most third and long situations, right, as an offense are the Philadelphia Eagles. Washington is in the top 10 of this list. Point blank. They got to get better there, and it's a penalty situation for them. It's penalties. It's execution. That'll be another reason why they don't make the playoffs, if they cannot get better on first and second down from an execution standpoint. The other reason why they won't make the playoffs is because they are not explosive enough as a passing offense. They're just not. They're not generating enough explosives in the pass game. And I know people are going to say, well, did you see them scheme open Luke McCaffrey? Yeah. Did you see Jayden Daniels to Chris Moore? Yeah. I named you two explosives.
Name me another explosive in the pass game from the other night. Didn't happen. It's hard to consistently matriculate the football down the field because you have penalties. It gives you more of an opportunity to screw up. That's why if you can hit a 40-yarder and chop the field in half and limit the amount of plays you got to run offensively, that's how you get it done. That's how you stay efficient. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll let you touch on both, but you got to be quick. Why will the Commanders make the playoffs? Why won't the Commanders make the playoffs? Athens is in Annapolis. What's chiming? What's up, Athens?
All right, just give me about an extra 30 seconds here, okay? Listen, they won't make the playoffs because what you see with your eyes doesn't lie, okay? You just went through the JV part of your schedule, and you're 3-3, made the Falcons look like the 80s 49ers and made the Bears. You couldn't force one turnover against the Bears. You're one dropped 97-yard touchdown pass away from giving the Bears 500 yards of offense. The Bears gave you 15-yard penalties in deep in their territory, and you couldn't move the ball a yard. This team went from Emmanuel Forbes and Davis and Benjamin St. Juice completely overhauled secondary, and you're worse than you were last year, and you just went through the JV part of your schedule. That's why they won't make the playoffs, because they don't practice hard. You've been a big critic of the way they practice, okay, and training camp. And again, what you see with your eyes doesn't lie. You're not being hard enough on them for Monday. They were one play away from giving up almost 500 yards to the Bears, couldn't force one turnover. They stunk all around on defense. And they got gift penalties, at least two, from the referees, and you still couldn't beat the Bears. So that's why they don't. You said put somebody else in there. They don't have the talent as backups yet. They're not a deep team, and now they have injuries this year that they didn't have last year. They're just not there yet from a talent perspective. But I don't understand the secondary that you think is so much better. They're worse.
The last two weeks, if you look at Monday night and the Chargers game, they've been pretty good in the secondary. If you're looking at it objectively, right, and looking at those two games for what they are, those two games. Don't talk to me about Atlanta. Don't talk to me about Green Bay. Look at the way they played versus L.A. and Chicago in the secondary.
It's a six-game sample,
but you're in October. Things are coming together for you. You did not treat the offseason with much importance, so it's going to take time for things to gel and to click, and I think they may have figured something out in the secondary in terms of the communication issue, because that was not the problem on Monday night. You know it. They couldn't stop the run all night long.
Well, they couldn't stop the run, but what about Zaccheaus dropping a 97-yard touchdown? What happened there? Because the Bears beat themselves on that. The Bears gave you chance after chance. The Kansas City's not going to do that. I know the Lions are not going to do that.
Football is week to week. Athens had to drop it. I realize we're terribly behind the clock. But Athens making legitimate points here. I get it. People are upset about the defense. 100% warranted. On the other side of the break, we'll continue to take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Why won't the Commanders make the playoffs? Why will the Commanders make the playoffs? We'll chew on that. Plus, we'll take a look at why the running game faltered on Monday night against the Bears. That's next here on The Fan. Is the number here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O'Willingham, taking you up the 10 o'clock. Coming up in about 12 minutes, our pal Chris Russell going to join the program. We'll ask him the same question we're asking you. Why will the Commanders make the playoffs? Why won't the Commanders make the playoffs? You can tweet at me with that as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. This is a fascinating conversation right now, because I think a lot of folks are in two different camps right now when it comes to where this group currently stands. There are a sector of you out there that have quit and given up on this group after Monday Night Football. There's also a sector of us that are like, all right, you hurt my trust, you broke my trust, but I'm still rocking with you. When I put you under the microscope and ask you about the postseason, how do you feel? Does that feel like a real conversation that we should be having? Why will the Commanders make the playoffs? Why won't the Commanders make the playoffs? Why they will make the playoffs, if you're just joining, in my opinion, this quarterback, this offense, when they're at full strength, we know they have the potential to be not just a top five offense, the best offense in football. But they got to get Terry back. You got to get Sam Cosby back. And I want to see Jalen Lane used more as well. Jalen Lane with a beautiful double move on Monday night. Jaden Daniels, cover two, honey hole shot, beating the safety. That's the goods. That's the goods from your quarterback. They should score with the way they're running the football. If they're able to stay ahead of the sticks and not have these BS penalties and execute at a high level, the way that they're running the football, knowing how accurate JD5 is, knowing how special he is with his legs, they should be able to score every time they touch the ball. And that's going to be the formula Sunday against Dallas, but it's going to be touchdowns, not field goals. Can't have any field goals on Sunday versus Dallas because I don't trust the defense. But the other reason why I think they will make the playoffs is I also think they're going to get healthy. They're going to be able to hit their stride, yes. But this defense and this secondary, and I know me and Afton had a passionate convo about it when he called in, I think this defense, yes, they were bad playing the run on Monday night, but I do think the last 2 weeks they have been much better in the secondary. They have been. They have been. Call it what you want. They've been better. You haven't seen the big gaffes, the big explosives. They're missing tackles right now. That's their problem. They don't want to hit. They got a manhood issue right now defensively. That front seven got their ass whipped. Point blank. But in the secondary, thought they played well for the most part. The secondary didn't play well against the run either, though. Trey Amos in the wrong hole. You saw Mikey Samuels still in the wrong hole. So that's part of the reason why I do feel they'll make the playoffs. I don't think the defense is totally a lost cause. I just think they've got to continue to get better, and I think they may have found something with how they're playing against the pass right now. Why won't they make the playoffs? Well, very simple. It'll be your defense. It'll be the fact that you continue to give up explosives. You continue to miss tackles. And quite frankly, you're not playing complimentary football. Offensively, you turned it over three times. Can't do that. You just can't. Not in this league. Too many times you had to settle for field goals instead of going on touchdown drives because you had penalties, self-inflicted wounds, false start, intentional grounding, illegal man downfield, illegal shift, illegal formation. You name it, they've got penalized for it offensively. Can't have that happen. That will be one of their shortcomings as to why they don't make the playoffs, because their third down efficiency is awful. 29th. 29th in the NFL on third down. 29th. In the NFL on third down. Come on. Come on. And then defensively, you're just not tackling. You're just not. So I would say this. At the end of the day, do I think they make the playoffs? Yeah. I think Jaden is too special. I think the offense is too dynamic. How far will they go in the playoffs? What is their ceiling? To this point, I don't really know. Jury's still out on that. 1-800-636-1067. Why will the Commanders make the playoffs? Why won't the Commanders make the playoffs? Mike wants to chime in. What's up, Mike?
Hey, man, how you doing, man?
Good, man.
Hey, the thing is that you're right, man. The defense really not playing that bad in the secondary. They just got a tackle, man. Quan Martin he been doing the same thing all year. Remember he did last year? He did it last year in the championship game. I don't understand it, man.
He don't take good angles, man. At all.
Yeah, that's. I don't know if that's coaching, got to teach that or whatever. I'm not sure. But they, as bad as they played Monday night, man, they still played well enough to win the game. It's too many plays that kept them from winning.
Yeah.
The fumble by Jaden and Quan Martin not making that tackle. Otherwise, they probably win the game, man. But one more thing I want to say to them, it's this, man. Look, when the weather's bad like that. I don't completely blame Jaden, because the quarterback, especially the quarterback's coach, they got to tell him, look, because of the condition of the weather, don't hand the ball off with one hand. Hand it off
with two.
You know, you put it in his back with two hands, and not try. And Jaden did make a mistake. He know he made this mistake. He tried, when he realized the ball was slipping out of his hand, he tried to throw the ball in his gut, and that caused a fumble. No, Jaden, you just got to take the ball. Don't even try to hand it off. Take the loss, fall down, and live another play. That's what he should have done.
I totally agree with you. I love the fact, this fact, though, Mike, just accountable as all as you could be. as accountable as you can be. He's a proper
leader. He's a professional.
Leader.
He's a professional. Yeah, you're
pro.
Right.
He's a pro. He's a real leader, and I think you agree with me on this. He'll get it together.
I don't think he's going to do that again.
No,
I don't think he's going to do it again.
I don't either, Mike. I appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the rest of your night. He's the least of my concerns. Talking about Jaden Daniels. I'm not trying to omit what he did. It cost him the game, point blank. It cost him the game, point blank. But he is the least of my concerns. I think Washington is a good football team. What we'll find out here in the next 4 weeks, are they an elite football team? Are they just a playoff team, or are they a championship contender? I happen to believe they're still a championship contender, but they've got to prove it here in this next four-week stretch. At Dallas, at Kansas City, home for Seattle, home for Detroit. That will show a lot about the character and the mental fortitude of the 2024 Washington Commanders. Point blank. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Chris Russell is going to join the program next on The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.